I want you, as we begin, to go back in your mind to some sad moment, whether that was a rejection at an interview, the job that you so wanted and you didn't manage to get it. Maybe it was leaving the house that you just loved so much. Maybe it was when a friendship that was you thought would go on forever, and there was some argument that caused this rupture in that relationship and you lost touch. Maybe it was someone you loved that died, a friend, a member of your family. Take a moment just to go into that place of sadness, of loss, of grief. That is where Jesus is when this gospel begins. He's just heard that his cousin, friend, comrade, John the Baptist, has been executed by, as Jesus says, that fox, Herod. Herod, the son of Herod the Great, who had tried to kill Jesus when he was a child. And now Jesus realizes that his ministry is coming to a moment of climax, when someone who stood for the kingdom of heaven, when someone who declared what kingdom values was all about in John the Baptizer and Herod, who represented the powers of this world, had put him to death as the result of a whim. And so Jesus goes away from everybody else to find this lonely place where he could just be by himself in his grief. And instead, when he gets there, it's as if when we've done the same, when we've tried to find some space in our lives just to sit and to pray in our own thoughts, and then suddenly in this quiet and lonely place that we've chosen, we discover a wedding party or a whole busload of school kids on an excursion filled with excitement and joy, and it just doesn't fit with where we are right now. But the response that Jesus gives in this situation is absolutely extraordinary. In the midst of his grief, the only emotion that he has to share with the crowd is compassion. When he looks at this huge mass of people who have heard where he was going and made their way to this lonely, isolated, desolated place, and he sees the need of this crowd, and he begins to teach them, he begins to heal their sick. And the morning becomes afternoon, and the afternoon becomes evening. And suddenly, he's there with this crowd of people who are starting to get hungry. What we find in this encounter is the fulfillment of all of the Gospels that we have heard during this month of July. We began on the first Sunday in July listening to Matthew 11, when Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who are labor and are overburdened, and I will give you rest." When he went into this ecstatic prayer, he says, "I bless you, Father, for hiding these things from the learned and the wise and revealing them to mere children." And in the last 3 weeks, the last 3 Sundays, we've been listening from Matthew 13, this whole series of parables about the kingdom of heaven. The first one about the sower who went with great abundance and opulence and was just scattering seed willy-nilly all around, showing the generosity and the graciousness of our God, who wants to share of his life, who wants to give of his life. Then we had the parable 2 weeks ago about another sower, this time one who sowed the wheat field. And in the midst of the wheat field, suddenly there grew up all sorts of weeds of darnel. And the servant said, "You want us to weed out these things that have been sown by the enemy?" And Jesus says, "No, you're not wise enough to know the difference sometimes between what will bear fruit and what won't in your life. Sometimes we need to let things grow before we know what is indeed good for us and what will lead us astray." And then last week, with those parables about finding treasure, the pearl of great price, the treasure hidden in a field. All of these are about the generosity of God, the wonder of God. One of those fundamental truths about our lives in God is that when God chose to create the world, He didn't need creation. He didn't need us. He didn't create the world so that we could somehow return the glory to Him. God in the Trinity is absolutely complete already. But God chose to create out of His abundance, out of His love, out of His graciousness. The result of this is that there's nothing that we can do to add to God's goodness. No work of kindness, nothing that we do that is good adds anything to God. Nothing of our failures, nothing of our depravity takes anything away from God's goodness. This is the rule of grace. This is the rule of what we worship, what we see in our God. A God who is love, a God who is grace. The prophet Isaiah recognizes this and realizes this. And he says, "Come to the water, all you who are thirsty. Though you have no money, come, buy, eat, celebrate." Receive that very life of God when Jesus, in that lonely place, sees the crowd, sees these people who are desperate, who are thirsty, who are hungry. He wants to share. He wants to give. He wants to say something of what He's just been teaching. He wants to bring this kingdom of heaven message that had been expressed in all these parables into life, into the lived reality of this crowd of people. And so He says to the disciples, the ones that He has just spent all this time in teaching and revealing something of this mystery to, they're hungry. And of course, the disciples still don't get it to begin with. Send them away. The impulse of sin is to scatter. The impulse of sin is to divide. The impulse of sin is to separate. We call the Satan, the devil. It's a word that comes from the scatterer. It comes from that concept of the devil is the one who divides, who separates, who brings this division into play. The kingdom of heaven is about gathering. The kingdom of heaven is about bringing people together. That's the role of the shepherd. That's the role of the king, to bring us together. So Jesus says, no, don't send the crowds away. Give them something to eat yourselves. That's the impulse of grace. Share in that very life of God. Share in what God has already shown us in the goodness of creation. Give them something to eat yourselves. But Lord, we have so little. We have so little to give. I can't save the world. I can't do what you want me to do. I haven't got the resources that I need to be able to do all these things that you've planted in my heart. But do what you can. The impulse of grace says, wherever you are, do whatever you can with whatever you have. Wherever you are, do whatever you can with whatever you have. The disciples only had these 5 loaves and 2 fish. But they brought them to Jesus. To Jesus who epitomized compassion, love, and grace. And Jesus took this pathetic offering of the disciples and raising His eyes to heaven, seeking the blessing of the Father, He prayed over these offerings. He prayed over these ordinary, very pathetic, inadequate gifts. And He asked the blessing of the Father upon these offerings of the disciples. These disciples who were beginning to open their eyes to see the reality of the kingdom, who were beginning to see the way things were different when the kingdom of heaven came into full effect. And the disciples then, in faith, began to step out. They began to take what they had, where they were, and to offer it to those around. To the person who was next, they began to offer the bread that the Lord had blessed. And to this person, they began to then share the gifts that the Lord had blessed and broken. This is the way of the kingdom, the way of grace, the way of life. St. Paul realizes in that wonderful reading in Romans, in the way of grace, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Neither life nor death, nor powers, nor sovereignties. Nothing that is here, nothing above, can ever separate us from the love of God. All that we can do in the way of grace is to take what God has given us, to offer it to Him, and to allow the Lord in His grace and mercy to bless that, to multiply that, and to begin to bring salvation to the world through us.